is not merely to gain knowledge of the scriptures, but to know God. You remember in Matthew 2 where wise men, magi, came from the east, and they come to Jerusalem. They've traveled from afar. They don't have the privileges of revelation that the Jews had, but they're inquiring because they know that a king has been born, and they want to know where the king of the Jews is to be born. And Herod is afraid of this, and so he questions the chief priests and scribes where the Christ, the Messiah, would be born. And these chief priests and scribes didn't have to go to the scrolls. They didn't have to study to try to figure out or go home and open their Bible up, as we would say. They knew right off. They knew the scriptures, and they knew Micah 5, verse 2, and so they quote that in Matthew 2, in verse 5, that Bethlehem was the place that he would be born. And so then Herod sends those magi, those wise men, on. But you know, those chief priests and scribes, they didn't go to see Jesus. They knew the Bible, they knew the Old Testament well enough to know where he'd be born, but they didn't go to see him. And in John chapter 1, in verse 10, we read about Jesus. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. In fact, in Matthew 16, verse 21, those chief priests and scribes would be the ones that Jesus said would put him to death. And so they knew their Bibles well, but they did not know God when he was in the flesh, in their presence. They did not know the word of God when they talked to him. And so we want to make sure that we know the scriptures in order to know God. Other religious leaders, the Sadducees in Matthew chapter 22, did not believe in the resurrection. And they posed this question to Jesus about a man dying and his brother marrying his wife and she having seven brothers, and whose will she be in the resurrection? And Jesus says to them, "You are mistaken, you err, not knowing the scriptures," and then notice this, "nor the power of God." You see, it wasn't just that they only took the Pentateuch and only knew part of the scriptures and a superficial understanding of it, but they didn't really know the scriptures that pointed them to the power of God, where they would believe in the resurrection, they would believe in the God who's the God of the living and not a God of the dead. And so that's why Jesus said that, "I am," God says in Exodus 3, "the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. I'm not a God of the dead, but of the living," and that in the resurrection we are as angels. And so they did not know the scriptures, but they didn't even know more than that. They didn't know the power of God. And so tonight I want us to think about three things we can do to make sure that we know God and not merely just know the scriptures. First of all, God's word must not just be in our head, it must be in our hearts. And what I mean by that is obviously the Bible does talk about the heart as in the idea of our thinking. What I mean is it must hit home to us in reality. You remember in Jeremiah 31 that God said that in the new covenant that I will put my law in their minds and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God and they shall be my people, and they shall no more teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, "Know the Lord," for they shall all know me. So there's a part about knowing God where you let God's word and you let scripture hit home to your heart. And that's why even if you know what I'm saying, even if you've heard something from the Bible 50 times, you need to come back and hear it again. You need to come to worship because it needs to hit home to your heart again and again. And that's why Peter said in 2 Peter 1, verse 12, "I'm going to keep stirring you up by means of remembrance." You know, you can have people in the world that say, "Well, I don't want to think of Jesus really as the Son of God. I just want to think of him as maybe a good philosopher." Well, they're never really going to know him because in reality, he is the Son of God. And we have to first come to know God by the way he is revealed in Scripture. It's as if you came to me and said, "Well, Mark, you're saying I'm your friend, but I want to think of you as a terrible parent that just lets his children run and do whatever they want, never disciplines them." And I would say, "Well, respectively, I would have to disagree with you because, you know, some people even think I'm too stringent, but I don't just let them do whatever they want." And then you reply back to me and you say, "Well, I just want to think of you as a terrible parent that never disciplines his children." Well, yes, you can think that, and nobody's going to find you or put you in prison, but guess what? We're not going to have a relationship, because unless you're going to be a friend to me on the reality of who I am, actually, instead of just whatever you want to think about me, then we're not really going to know each other. And so in that same way, we can't approach God just in however way we want to think that God is. We have to know him through Scripture. And so if somebody wants to think that God is a God that would never punish them in hell, that's not the kind of God they want to come to know, then they're not really knowing God. And so, yes, it must first start with Scripture being written into our hearts and hit home to our hearts. Number two, prayer. Prayer is a good way that we can get to know God more. You see, because not only must God speak to us through His Word, we must speak to Him. We must have dealings with God, and we must be dealt with by God in prayer. The Lord Jesus Christ, in the Garden of Gethsemane, in Matthew 26, verse 39, asked the Father, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." He prayed that, and then he went and prayed a second time, and notice how he's moving with his prayer. In verse 42, he says, "O my Father, if this cup cannot pass from me unless I drink it, your will be done." And then he prayed that a third time. And so by the time of John 18, 11, when they come and Peter strikes off Malchus's ear, Jesus says to him, "Shall I not drink of the cup my Father has given me?" How did Jesus move from, "If it is possible, let this cup pass from me," to, "Shall I not drink of it?" It was by prayer, and persistent prayer. Prayer is the means by which we deal with God and by which He deals with us. The Wednesday night meetings used to be called long ago Wednesday prayer meetings. And I wonder if we've lost something by not having that as a focal point of our Wednesday night services. Sometimes what I'll try to do, even in sermons, is at the beginning or at the end of the sermon, to say a prayer. Not that the person praying opening prayer or closing prayer hasn't done a great job, but in order to try to get those truths of Scripture that God has told us to work into our hearts by prayer. And that's what Jesus did here. That's how He went from that. And so we have to keep on seeking, keep on finding, keep on knocking, keep on asking. We have to be persistent in prayer so that we can come to know God more and more. And then thirdly, obedience. In 1 John 2, in verse 3, John writes this, "By this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He who says, 'I know Him,' and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him, and by this we know that we know Him." He goes on in chapter 3 and talks about how we know the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest by those that love God and love each other. We know that we've passed from death to life because we love the brethren. You see, I can know a lot of Scriptures, but I can also be a self-righteous Pharisee who knows the doctrine, knows all the rules, but doesn't truly love God and love other people, doesn't truly put it into practice and obey it. And so it's like saying, "Well, I know this person really well. Yeah, we spend a lot of time together, but if you really know that person, you are not going to consistently be doing things that would cause that person to weep, that person to grieve, that person to be dishonored, that would trample and run roughshod over everything that person stands for and everything that person wants and loves and lives for. If you really know somebody, you wouldn't act in such a way as to grieve that person over and over and over again. And so if we really know God, then we're not going to live in such a way that we would continually grieve Him and make Him weep and make Him dishonored. We'll live in such a way as to honor Him. Now, we all as Christians have failings, we have shortcomings, but how do I know that I know Him? Well, if I'm not constantly living a life that grieves Him, that's one of the ways. In Hosea 4, verse 6, the prophet says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." Usually we apply that to just a mere knowledge of the Scriptures. But God uses that in the means of knowing Him in the sense of obeying Him, following His ways, being in a relationship with Him where you live a certain way. And the reason I know that is if you go to Hosea 4 and you back up a few verses to verse 1, God says, "Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth, no mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land." There's no knowledge of God. What does he mean by knowledge of God? Verse 2, "By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed." You see, knowing God was not just merely having knowledge of the Scriptures, but it was putting that into practice in the way that you lived your life as to not grieve the God that you learned about and that you came to know through the Scriptures. And so what about you tonight? Do you know God? Have you obeyed the gospel by faith, repentance, confession, and baptism? You may say that you know Him, but unless you obey the commands of Jesus to believe in Him, to repent of your sins, to confess His name before men, and to be baptized, you don't know Him. And maybe you've done those first things, but you're just saying, "Well, I'm just following the rules, but I don't really love people. I'm not really working it out, or my prayer life is just non-existent." Are you really dealing with God? Are you having dealings with Him? Do you really know Him? Or are you just knowing things about the Scriptures? And so tonight, we want you to know God and to be known of Him. Because in the end, when Jesus appears on the judgment seat, He will either say, I know you not, or I know you. Do you know Him? If not, why not come and make a response while together we stand and while we sing?
Bring Him your every care, if great or small. Whatever troubles you, oh, bring it all. Bring Him the haunting fears, the nameless dread. Thy heart He will relieve and lift up thy head. Blessed Savior of us all, almighty friend, His presence shall be ours unto the end. Without Him life would be how dark, how drear. But with Him morning breaks and heaven is near. You're now dismissed to your classes.